Well, good morning. I should have put ropes around those two outer sections so that we would all be in the middle section, but that's okay. We'll work with it how it is. We'll be a little spread out this morning, but it's better than being crammed in the adult Sunday school room over there. So we're going to have kids, the elementary kids are going to be in here today as well, just because we felt like we wanted both the teachers and the kids as well to find out about what God's doing in Honduras. As you know, we have this morning with us Carlos Montoya and also Edwin, and I'm already forgetting the last name. Celaya, that's right. They're both from the ministry there in Honduras. They do different things, but are both part of the same general work there in Honduras. And so we look forward to hearing from Carlos this morning in our Sunday school hour, just a report about how things have been going there in Honduras in terms of the work of the ministry there, as well as their family and other things. So Carlos, I was just talking with him about it. He's been there in Honduras where he's at for about 16 years. And before that, had been in Southern California, got his theological training at the Masters, and now is doing theological training of pastoral training in Honduras. And he works at a center called the MIDA Ministry Center, right? I know that's not the formal name, but and what it is pastors that come from Honduras and also other parts of Latin America and Central America, right? And they will get a training, usually modular training, for pastoral work. And I know just talking with Edwin and talking with Ben Abrahamson, who spent some time there as well, and a little bit with Carlos, there's been a lot of transformation in churches and in the lives of pastors through the work there. And so we look forward to what God is going to continue to do in terms of strengthening the church through what Carlos and Lori and the team there at MIDA is doing. Well, before I have Carlos come up, let's just open in prayer, and we'll ask God to bless our time this morning. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being here today as members of the New Covenant. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our prophet, priest, and king. We thank you for all that he has done for us to accomplish our salvation and all that he continues to do in our lives through his Holy Spirit to sustain us and comfort us and guide us and protect us. And we thank you also, O God, for the great promises of the gospel, the promises of the fulfillment of the work that you started in us, the completion of our redemption at the end of the age. And Lord, even as we live now in between Christ's first and second comings, we know that we are to be about the great commission that he's given to us. And Father, we know that that includes not just our own local church here, making disciples here in our community, but also, Lord, taking the gospel to all nations, to the ends of the earth. And we think of the many people groups throughout the world who have very little, if any, access to the gospel. We also think of the fact that even as the gospel does go forth and churches are planted, that there is great need for pastoral training so that those churches might be able to withstand the attacks of the enemy and hold fast to the gospel and grow and expand in a healthy way in the places where they're at. And so we just thank you for all of those laborers that you have raised up, not only to be pioneer missionaries, but also to strengthen the churches that are springing up throughout the world. And we pray, Father, for Honduras and for the churches there, that you would continue to strengthen them in the faith, to hold fast to the gospel and to sound doctrine, to live out the Christian life in accordance with the teaching of your word. And Father, to be therefore healthy local churches that can be bases for gospel ministry in their community and for the expansion and spread of the gospel where they're at. Lord, we pray for Carlos and Lori and for Edwin and his wife and for the ministry there at the MIDA Center and in the local church there that they're a part of. And we ask your blessing upon it. We pray for much fruitfulness We pray for protection against the attacks of the enemy. We pray for fidelity on their part to the gospel, to Christ. And Lord, we ask that even now, as he comes and gives report to us, that you would strengthen us, O God, to be better supporters, more effective, more wise supporters of the ministry there. Lord, we pray that you would help us to know how to pray for them, to know better, Lord, what we are supporting with the monies that we give, and to have hearts, Lord, to support them in other ways, whether that would be that you would provide opportunities for short-term help from our church going and supporting the work there, and in other ways as well. So, Lord, use this time to strengthen us to be more Christ-honoring and effective supporters of the work there. So, Lord, we pray that you bless our time to that end. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you, Carlos. Can you come on?
Well, it definitely is a joy to be here with you all. Am I on? We're good. We're good. If you noticed, I did say you all. I'm not really sure exactly where I'm from. I was born in an island in the Caribbean called Bonaire, Netherlands Antilles. So by birth, I'm actually Dutch. I don't look the part, do I? But I grew up in the Dutch system, school system there till seventh grade, and then we moved to the States and moved to North Carolina. So that's why you hear a little bit of this southern draw. And that's where I met my wife after high school and college. I met my wife there in North Carolina. We were married in 89. Just a quick biography of mine. And went to seminary in Southern California, Master's Seminary, 96. And from there, after graduating from seminary, involved with Pastor Brian Sheely at their church in Calvary Baptist Church in Burbank, there was this opportunity that was opened in Honduras. And so in the year 2001, we moved to Honduras, and we've been there since. And it's been an incredible experience, just amazing experience what the Lord's done. We'll share more about that. Pastor Jeremy said, our ministry basically is training men. And we have a motto in our ministry that I believe describes the ministry very well. We say we train men to preach Christ with power, passion, and precision. Power, passion, and precision. And I think that really does encapsulate what the Lord is doing there as these men are trained in the Word of God. And we say power because we train them to understand the authority that the Word brings in their preaching, and they should preach with that authority. Thus says the Lord. And so we want them to understand that they bring the maximum authority as they speak from the pulpits. They're not bringing worldly authority. They're not bringing political authority. They are bringing divine authority as they speak. So they speak and they preach Christ with power. When we say they preach with passion, what we're saying is this is something that they have internalized. This is something that they need to understand that they will die for. This is something that they are so convinced about that it just exudes in them all the counsel of the Lord. And in precision. Precision is that we want them to teach the truth and nothing but the truth. We want them to be precise. And so our programs are designed to give them that precision in the ministry. So they preach with power, passion, and precision. Before I get into the details of the ministry, what I want to do is show a short video, six-minute video, to kind of give you an idea of its impact, and I'll come back and share some more. Well, that's just a brief testimony and description of what we're about, but let me just give you a little bit of a history of how it came about. Around 1998, a retired pastor from Florida who would frequent Honduras, had contacts there and contacts with different pastors and all, had this idea, this, if you will, this burden in his heart to train church leaders. Training, like you said in the video, training is such a great need in Latin America. There are churches that will pop up and other churches that will plant other churches, but they don't have the leaders really to lead these churches. So there is this great need for church leadership training. And he had this idea of starting a conference center type retreat center in Honduras, and he was able to do that with the help of some contacts in Florida. And in the year 2000, it was inaugurated, and he invited one of the people that was helping out there in Honduras. His name was Ken. Well, what's interesting is it was around that time, about May 2000, that we were wondering, my wife and I and the children, we were wondering what the Lord would have for us. We were living in Panorama City. We had just graduated from, the Master's Seminary about a year before. And so we were wondering, okay, what should we do? What is the Lord wanting us to do? We were thinking Spanish ministry since I grew up. I was born as a Hollander, but I'm actually by blood Colombian. My parents are both Colombian. And some of you might have heard of my dad. Well, I've heard probably of the person he translates and is the voice of on radio, J. Vernon McGee, Through the Bible. My dad is the Spanish voice of that throughout all Latin America. So his name is Samuel Montoya. And so in Honduras, I'm actually known as Son of Sam. Isn't that wild? I mean, everybody knows Sam, you know. It's nuts. But it's wonderful. He's moved to Honduras, lives just real near us, and sort of semi-retired. So it's really neat to have him there with us as well. But we were looking for a ministry, what the Lord would have us do, and I happened to call Ken, and I was thinking about maybe looking for a Spanish ministry in the Florida area. And Ken told me about this ministry in Honduras. And so that's how it all started, this conversation. And that was May of 2000. In September of 2000, Ken took me to Honduras, and we saw the facilities there of MEDA. MEDA is the name of the ministry, Ministerios Evangelicos de las Americas, which is Evangelical Ministries of the Americas. That's how it was named. And that was September of 2000. And then January of 2001, we moved as a family, my wife and I and five children, moved to Honduras. And like I said, we've been there since. Since then, we've had two more children. And so the Lord's blessed us with seven children. Our oldest is married one of the graduates of the seminary, who is also an elder at our church, and who's also a professor at the seminary now, and who's also here with me, too. His name is Edwin Zelaya, and we affectionately call him Chino. So it's exciting to have him here. And Ben, when was it, 2009? No. Did you move? 2007. You were there. Wow, 10 years ago. That is amazing. And I think our partnership with Cal Creek was about 2005 or 2006 we started. And this is one of the first churches that partnered with us. That's exciting. That's exciting. So it's been about 12 years that y'all have been partnering with us, and it's been neat to kind of see how the Lord's been directing Ben as well. He came down for about 2 months, and it was fun to have him there and be part of his life as well. Well, anyway, year 2002, we started what was a conference ministry. We actually offered about 24 conferences that year. Weekend conferences, Thursday night, all day Friday, and ending in on Saturday noon time. And it was overwhelmingly received, and many came from Honduras mostly. Well, since then, we have kept up with the conference ministry. We don't have as many. We have around 11 to 12 conferences a year, about once a month from February to November. The school year in Honduras is from February to November, and so we try to maintain that kind of schedule as well. And we have like one or two conferences a month in that time period. And it's just about, it's just conferences on different topics. We can break it down to four categories. The conferences are either pastoral ministry, or theology, biblical exposition, or evangelism and missions. For instance, theology will have a conference on how great our God is, and it'll be a conference on the Godhead, the Trinity. For instance, we've had Bruce Ware there talk about the Trinity. He's a professor at Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. We've had another theology would be just something on Christology. We had Steve Fernandez come out several times and do a conference on the glory of Christ. Just an incredible conference, and so we're so thankful. So we've had different people from different places come and give us conferences, and it is exciting. Maybe one day we'll bring Jeremy along to do a conference, and we would love that. We would love to have him there as well. So we're still doing that. We've been doing that for 15 years. This year marks 15 years of offering conferences, and we host about 100 to 130 pastors, lay leaders from different parts of Honduras, but now also from other parts of Central America, from Nicaragua, Guatemala, from El Salvador, and it's exciting to see them come and learn from these conferences. Biblical expositions, we have people come and do book studies. We had, for instance, this year we had somebody do something on Joshua. Somebody will be coming in October doing something on the book of Hebrews. I've done a book study on the book of First Timothy and Titus, things like that. In terms of pastoral ministry, we have, for instance, a conference on pastoral ministry or on leadership, on the pastor's home and marriage, things like that that are just very, very relevant for these pastors. And then missions and evangelism, we've had things on apologetics. You might know Pastor Cliff McManus. He's at Cornerstone Seminary as well, and he's come down and done something on apologetics. And others have done things on different cults, on exposing the cults. We had recently Justin Peters come and do something on the exposing the prosperity gospel, which is just huge in Honduras and Latin America. So it was really timely to have him expose. I don't know if you know about Justin Peters' ministry. You can look him up on the internet. But he's an amazing man. He's actually got cerebral palsy, so he has a hard time walking. And he's been to these healing campaigns. That's part of his ministry. He's actually been to like 9 Benny Hinn crusades. I'm like, wow, why do you want to do that? But that's what he does, to just see what they do and expose them. And so it's firsthand experience. And of course, he brings the word to bear upon all those errors. And it was just a really, really good conference. But that's kind of an idea of what the conference is like. In 2004, we started what was called a preacher school. The reason we started that is because as we were giving the conferences, and the conferences, what it highlighted was just dealing with different topics with the sufficiency of the word. And as these attendees would come and hear the conferences and listen to them and realize, wow, you know, the word has so much to say about all these different topics and all these different issues, we want to be able to handle the word that way. And so in 2004, we started the preacher school, and it was a one-year program. We graduated those men, and we realized, okay, we want to go further. And these men asked, we want more. And so in 2006, we started the Meta Seminary, which is it's called the Expository Preaching Seminary, or Seminary for Expository Preaching. In Spanish, the acronym is SEPE. You saw that there, SEPE. So that is the seminary name, if you will, of Meda. So SEPE is under Meda. So we have under Meda the conference ministry, and we also now have the seminary ministry. And the seminary began in 2006, and it was heavily concentrated on the exegetical process. Now, what does that mean? The process of interpreting Scripture using the original languages. So we are heavy on the Greek and Hebrew. And so the program, when initially started, it started with your basic hermeneutics and then Greek and Hebrew, but all pointing towards expository preaching, making that bridge from exegesis to exposition of the Word. Well, since then, it has been developing. The program has been developing. When we first started, we did not offer theologies. And we really believed that definitely the base, the foundation of study needs to be the original languages. We were giving them that, but we really believed that they should also get a framework, a theological framework, as they're developing their expository skills. And so in 2013... we offered the theology courses in 2013, and we brought on a pastor, professor, actually a medical doctor too. He was a former medical doctor, Dr. Rob Kensinger. You saw him on the video. He's been here with us since 2013, and he's over the theology department. And so that has been a great, great blessing. The guys who have graduated from the seminary who had not taken theology would come back and take those courses as well, seeing the need to take that. And so we're training these men to preach Christ with power, passion, and precision. The future of the program, we're increasing it now again. Next year, we're going to add a few more courses, and the year after that, enough to be able to now offer a minimal level MDiv program, a Master's of Divinity program. And that is very, very exciting. We're adding some pastoral ministry courses, some biblical counseling courses, some historical theology courses. So if anybody here speaks Spanish and needs a place to study, wow, we will accept you. We actually had a student from Miami come and study it at the seminary there. He graduated last year. He knew Spanish, and he said, hey, this is what I want. This is what I, you know, and you have what I believe can train me, and so we were able to do that. So it's exciting. He's gone back to Miami, and he's helping out as sort of associate role at his local church there. So that's exciting. I'll give you more testimony, but why not get a firsthand testimony of a young fellow who came to Meda, wet behind the ears kind of thing, you know, they say. So I'm going to ask Edwin to come and give some words there, 10 minutes. Now, do you want to do it in Spanish or in English?
In Spanish.
So I'll translate for him.
Okay. I prefer the Spanish.
He speaks pretty well. He actually learned English at our home. He never took formal English classes, but he feels more comfortable in Spanish. So. It is a joy to be here this morning. Now, just the 5 minutes that my father-in-law has left me.
No, verdaderamente puedo decir muchas historias, muchos testimonios de los estudiantes.
Truly, I could give a lot of testimony of the many students.
Pero quisiera mejor enfocarme en lo que el Señor ha hecho a través del seminario en mí.
But I'm going to focus on what the Lord has done through me at the seminary.
Antes de decir acerca del impacto que ha causado el seminario en mí, voy a hablar un poquito acerca de lo que el Señor me permite hacer allá en Honduras.
Before I share with you the impact that the seminary had on me, I'll share with you what the Lord's having me do in the seminary as well.
Estoy trabajando a tiempo completo en la iglesia, predicando constantemente cada semana.
I work at the church full time, and I preach and teach as part of the ministry there.
Trabajo con jóvenes y también trabajo con parejas jóvenes casadas.
I work with the youth. I'm the elder over the youth, but as well work with the young couples.
Y ha sido realmente una bendición para mí, pero un proceso de aprendizaje.
It has been a great blessing for me, but also it has been a process of learning.
cada experiencia y cada tiempo con los jóvenes y con las parejas realmente ha impactado mi propia vida.
All the time that I spend with the youth and spend with the married couples, it really has had a great impact in my own life.
Pero también el Señor me ha permitido ahora por 4 años enseñar en el seminario.
But the Lord has also given me the opportunity to teach now at the seminary.
Y eso ha sido una experiencia un poco distinta.
And that's been a different kind of experience.
Porque eso tiene que ver con interactuar con personas que hacen lo mismo que yo hago.
Because at that level, I am now interacting with people who are also in the ministry as I am.
Y escuchar de los problemas, dificultades que ellos tienen y poder crecer juntos.
And to listen to the different their different experiences, their issues that they deal with, and we grow together.
Y ver el crecimiento de ellos desde que ingresan hasta que se gradúan ha sido realmente sorprendente.
And to see the growth of them from the time they enter the seminary and as they leave, it really has been such a great, amazing thing to see.
Entonces, lo que el Señor está haciendo en Honduras es sorprendente a través del seminario, a través del ministerio.
And what the Lord is doing through in Honduras, through the seminary, really is an amazing thing.
Muchos de ustedes tal vez no pueden viajar a Honduras, pero pueden hacer ministerio a través de misioneros como nosotros.
Many of you probably can't travel to Honduras, but you can get so involved with missionaries that are there just as we are.
Cuando voy a hablar acerca ahora de cómo impactó el seminario en mi vida.
I want to speak now of how the seminary was an impact in my own life.
Lo voy a resumir.
And I'm going to try to just give you a summary.
crecí una iglesia carismática.
I grew up in a charismatic type church.
Entonces, lo que sabía en cuanto a la teología era que las lenguas, los milagros existían, estaban vigentes.
And what my theology was that, you know, the gift of tongues was still existent, miracles, healings.
Pero todo lo que, viendo hacia atrás, todo era algo superficial y mucho emoción.
And as I look back, I realized it was all superficial and all based on emotion.
Sin embargo, por las conferencias que ofrecía el ministerio, mi padrastro me llevó a Meda.
Well, as Meda's ministry, as we found out about the ministry, my stepfather, who is also a pastor, took me to one of the conferences there at Meda.
Y en otro tiempo vamos a hablar acerca de cómo el Señor me trajo a él.
And another time, maybe I can share with you how the Lord led me to him.
Pero mi padrastro fue el que me llevó siendo un pastor carismático, él fue el que me llevó a las conferencias de Meda.
It's interesting, my father-in-law, who was also a charismatic pastor, he's the one that took me to a conference at Meda.
Y empecé a conocer acerca del ministerio y me interesé mucho en cuanto al estudio de la palabra del Señor.
And I just was interested in about the ministry and learned a lot about the Word of God.
Y pues decidí en el 2004 comenzar a estudiar y también al mismo tiempo trabajar para Meda.
And in 2004, I went ahead and decided to study there at Meda, but also they offered me some work to work there at Meda.
Y yo me acuerdo que el primer año de seminario fue algo tan impactante para mi vida.
And I remember that first year of that the preacher school, it was a very impactful year in my life.
Por muchas razones.
For many reasons.
Una era porque quería estudiar no para ser pastor, sino para enseñar nada más.
Because basically I wanted to study not to really be a pastor, but to eventually teach sometime.
Sufrí mucho como hijo de pastor que no quería eso para mi familia.
I suffered a lot as the son of a pastor, and so I really didn't want that for my family.
Pero como ven, ahora amo lo que hago.
But as you can see, I love what I'm doing now.
El Señor cambió completamente eso.
The Lord changed my mind in all that.
La otra cosa era que mi teología la cambió totalmente el Señor a través de su palabra.
And another thing that changed was my theology. The Lord changed my theology through His Word.
cada módulo estudiando la palabra de Dios me vine a dar cuenta de cuán equivocado estaba.
In each module that I was studying, I realized how erroneous, how wrong I was in my theology.
No fue como que alguien me dijo, esto es lo que debes de creer. No fue el estudio de la palabra del Señor que cambió mi vida.
It wasn't somebody imposing some belief on me saying, this is what you need to believe. It was just simply studying the word that the Lord used to change my theology in my mind of it.
Y un tercer impacto que causó el seminario.
And a third impact that the seminary caused.
Que yo creo que tenía un conocimiento superficial en cuanto al evangelio y la obra de Cristo.
I had sort of a superficial understanding of the gospel and the work of Christ.
Realmente llegué a pensar de que realmente no era salvo antes porque vine a comprender la obra de Cristo en la cruz y el evangelio mismo.
And I came to realize that I probably wasn't saved before because I got a deeper understanding of Christ's work on the cross for me.
Porque esa iglesia donde crecían, que ellos eran sinceros, realmente era algo muy superficial.
Because of that church that I grew up in, although they were sincere, it was really superficial.
Pero al estudiar la palabra de Dios, vine a entender lo que el evangelio significa.
But at studying the word of God, I came to understand what the gospel really means.
Entonces el Señor realmente me ha bendecido con un ministerio como este en Honduras.
So the Lord has really blessed me with this kind of ministry there in Honduras.
Y eso ha provocado en mi corazón el deseo de querer entrenar a otros.
And that has really provoked in my heart that desire to train others.
Y eso ahora es como un sueño hecho realidad de poder estar pastoreando pero entrenando a otros hombres.
And so it is like a dream come true as I am involved in the church, but now also training other men.
Y lo que el Señor está haciendo es increíble, no solamente en Honduras, sino en Centroamérica.
And what the Lord is doing, not only in Honduras, but also we see his work in Central America.
Y aún tenemos un estudiante de Perú.
We also have a student from Peru.
Entonces, este año tenemos alrededor de 52 alumnos.
So, this year we have our biggest student body, which is about 52 in the seminary.
Entonces, cuando uno piensa en el seminario, no piensa en 52 personas, sino en 52 iglesias que están siendo impactadas.
So, when we think of the students, we don't think of 52 students, but we think of 52 churches that are being impacted.
Entonces, eso es lo que el Señor ha hecho en mi vida a través del ministerio como MEDA.
So that's what the Lord has done in my life through the ministry of MEDA.
Entonces, casado con la hija de Carlos Montoya.
So I'm married to the daughter of Carlos Montoya.
Carlos Montoya dijo que él era conocido en Honduras por ser el hijo de Samuel Montoya.
I said that I was known as the son of Sam.
Yo soy conocido en Estados Unidos por ser el yerno de Carlos Montoya.
And I am known as the son-in-law of Carlos Montoya.
Entonces, estoy tan agradecido al Señor que lo mandó a él a Honduras.
So I'm so thankful to the Lord that the Lord sent him to Honduras.
Que ahora ha casado con Kimberly por 6 años.
I've been married to Kimberly now for 6 years.
Y tenemos dos hijos y uno que viene.
We have 2 children and 1 on the way.
Entonces, so, el Señor nos ha bendecido con 3 hermosos hijos. Ya.
So the Lord has blessed us with 3 wonderful children and from my perspective, 3 incredible grandchildren, right?
Nos gustaría que estuvieran orando siempre por nosotros y los retos que tenemos allá en Honduras.
We'd like for you to continue to pray for us and all the challenges we have there in Honduras.
Ahora que ustedes ya tienen una idea de lo que estamos haciendo allá.
Now that you have an idea of what we are doing there.
Realmente necesitamos tanta oración porque así como hay muchas bendiciones, hay mucha oposición en nuestro país.
We do need a lot of your prayers because just as there's a lot of blessing, there's also opposition.
Y no necesariamente por el gobierno.
Not necessarily from the government.
Sino por las mismas, los mismos cristianos o asociaciones carismáticas.
It could be coming, the opposition could be coming from even the supposed Christians also, the charismatic groups.
Porque ellos tienen diferentes teologías, diferentes pensamientos.
They have different theologies, different thoughts and things.
Entonces, a veces eso causa dificultades.
And so that can cause some difficulties.
Entonces, oren por nosotros, para que el Señor siga usándonos en Honduras.
So pray for us that the Lord will continue to use us in Honduras.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you very much. That is one testimony, and I'm thankful that he was able to come. We're going to be attending the Exalting Christ Conference this week at Community Bible Church there in Vallejo, a church that has sort of the home sending church, we could say, of Pastor Edwin is Tony Sinelli's church. You might have heard of Pastor Tony Sinelli in Pleasant Hill, Grace Bible Church of Pleasant Hill. And so they'll be meeting there as well. So it's really neat, the connections we have here in Northern California, and we're excited about the partnerships. I wanted to just share what the Lord is doing. He mentioned a few things of some of the students. This year, for the first time, the student body is represented by all five Central American countries. It's amazing. The five Central American countries are Honduras, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Guatemala, and Costa Rica. And so we have students from every one of those countries. And if you know what some of these countries are like, for instance, Nicaragua, they shut down basically all of missionary work there. It is I don't even know how to call it, a pseudo-communistic country. He's able to come in, study, and then go back, and might be the last Nicaraguan that we train. So his name is Luis. We pray for him. He graduates this year, so it's exciting to see him, and so we continue to pray for him. Then we have somebody from like the other Central American countries as well. It is amazing what the Lord is doing with MEDA. How do we see the impact? Sometimes it's not as quantifiable. You can't just see exactly all that's going on, but there are tidbits of things that are happening that is very, very exciting. And I just wanted to share a few of those. For instance, right now, just as we've graduated over 64 people in the last 10 years, now we have several of those graduates who are now also on faculty. We have, I think, five maybe on faculty at the seminary. So it's really neat to see how these men are coming back, and now they're involved in training men as well. And one of them, I just want to share with you a little bit about him. His name is Julio Pacheco, and he graduated in 2012. And he grew up in a church, one of the biggest Baptist churches in Tegucigalpa, which is the capital. And just to give you a little bit of background, the Baptist convention hasn't really given their eyes of favor on MEDA. I'm not sure exactly all. There's some theological issues, differences and all, but they haven't. Well, this church was one of the biggest churches of the convention, and it's sort of a respected church in the convention. Julio is from that church. He came and got trained, went back to the church, but the Lord used him also in that church to be able to lead, if you will, a program of church planting outer villages of Tegucigalpa and even beyond, and different church planting missions. And what he did is this is amazing. He took graduates from CEPE to go and lead these churches, these little, you know, these churches. So that was just an amazing thing. And so he was involved heavily with that. We brought him on faculty because he's just a bright, bright fellow as well, is just great, godly character. Well, last year, the pastor of that church in God's providence, actually passed away. And since Julio was in that church, everybody basically said, you've been trained, you need to be the pastor of this church. And it's a pretty sizable church in terms of relatively speaking, about 300 maybe people there. And sure enough, he stepped into that role. And so now he's the pastor of one of the biggest churches in Tegucigalpa, one of the biggest Baptist churches in Tegucigalpa. But he's also heading up these other underlying churches with SEPE graduates as well. And so it's almost, if you will, if I can use the term, it's almost a movement, you know, to get good teaching, good theology, and good men. We are concerned not only for the men's learning and academic skill, but we want them to be men of character. We want them to be men of the Word, men of God, men who love Christ and want to preach Christ. And so it is really neat to see how the Lord is using Julio to do that. And then there's just different other people. The person from Peru, our program, seminary program, is modules, two-week modules. Every 3 or 4 weeks, we offer a two-week module with the different courses. So there's 8 of them a year. Well, this guy from Peru travels for each module. He comes in on Monday morning and then leaves 2 weeks later back home, and he has a wife and 5 children, I think he is. And he's actually in the jungles of Peru. He used to be a pastor in Lima, the capital, but he felt the Lord leading him to the jungle, so he's a missionary in the jungles of Peru. And it's really neat to see what the Lord is doing with him. He's an excellent preacher as well. And he's currently learning Greek there as well. Well, there's so much to say. My role, the Lord's given me the opportunity to lead the ministry, a board title. I'm the president of the ministry. But I also teach. I teach Hebrew. I teach to all the Hebrew courses. They're not all of them. There's another person that comes in and teaches another Hebrew course as well, but most of the Hebrew courses. And that's a lot of fun to teach these guys. And it's really neat to see how we have students that might have just finished 6th grade, and they're learning Greek and Hebrew. And the reason we're allowing them to come and study is because we realize in that context, in that third world context, the reason that they just got to 6th grade isn't because of deficiency intellectually. It's because of opportunities. At 6th grade, maybe they had to stop school because they had to work to support the family, support the mother and father, the brothers and sisters and all. And the Lord saved them, and now they're in a church, and they're leading a church that they need to be trained. And so we accept these people, and we walk them through, and we use the term, we hold their hands. And it's really neat to see how they do. They learn the Greek and the Hebrew, and it's not just superficial. We go deep. And it's really neat to see how the Lord is blessed in their ministry. And we try to help them realize that the Greek and Hebrew is not another level of spirituality. It has nothing to do with spirituality. It's just a level of understanding what the Lord has to say in His Word. And so we try to keep them humble. I tell the students, the Greek and Hebrew students, I said, hey, you know, just to kind of keep you humble, what you're learning is a lot less than a 7-year-old knew in the early church in the book of Acts. They knew more than you about Greek and Hebrew, you know. So don't think that you're some kind of high spiritual person, nothing to do. We want to know what the God's Word says so that we can preach with that power and that passion and precision, and the people will have growth in Christ and understand that they must conform their lives to Christ. Well, I have about 5 minutes. I thought what I would do is just open it up for questions. If anybody has any questions, either myself or Edwin, just go away. It can be anything. It can be something about Honduras. Let me give you this little tidbit of trivia. If you go to Wikipedia, which is maximum authority of everything, right? Okay. If you go to Wikipedia and you look up Siguatepeque, that's where we're at. That's where Mérida is. Siguatepeque is a city name in Honduras where Mérida is at. And there's this little tidbit of information on Siguatepeque, and it says Siguatepeque is the geographical center of all the Americas. So all the way from, I guess, from Alaska all the way down to Argentina and Chile, we are the geographical center of all. The way I look at it is we are the center of Western civilization, right? Is that So we are training men to preach Christ with power, passion, precision from the center of Western civilization. So that's it's exciting. It's a beautiful town. It's like 3,000 feet above sea level, and so the climate is just beautiful. So we really enjoy it there. All right, are there any questions or any comments or insults or? Let's see. Yes, Jeremy. Yes. Definitely. Definitely. There is that opportunity, and there are means, vehicles to do that. Like I said, there's so much to be said. We are part of an organization called the Masters Academy International. And it's a consortium of different seminaries throughout the world that have, common distinctives. One of them is that we're all training for expository preaching for students to be able to be expositors. Most of them, if not all of them, are tied with the Master Seminary. They have Master Seminary graduates in their different venues and all. But they have given us the opportunity for people who want to support students to actually give monies to TMAI, and it'll get to us, and it will give it to the student to support them. So if you want more detail on that, well, you can talk to me personally, and I can give you a little more detail on how to do that. That is a very good way to support students. And in fact, for instance, about two months ago, I was offered a trip to Cuba, and I went to Cuba. And now there are two pastors in Cuba who are looking at coming to the seminary. And so one of the issues is financial support and all, and so we're looking at ways of maybe helping them out there. But yeah, those are great opportunities. Thanks, Jeremy. Other question? Yes. Short-term teams. We welcome short-term teams. Okay, so afterwards, Jeremy's going to give me some dates already, right, Jeremy? We usually have short-term teams, either youth or college, or we've had, you know, older people as well, to come usually during the summer months to come and do different kind of ministries, from construction to evangelism to vacation Bible schools for children, evangelism to youth, evangelism in the schools, music ministry. We had STM, a short-term mission team, come in during a seminary module, and so we'll have somebody preach the chapels, things like that. It's just so many. We have medical opportunities as well. Anybody who has a medical degree of some sort, nurse, doctor, whatever, we have a clinic at our church that we can hold a brigade, and a week-long brigade, and people come in. There's so much need in that area as well. Edwin is involved with the short-term team. That's one of his biggest ministries there, too. Him and Kimberly are basically the ones leading the logistics. As the team comes down, they kind of take over. So he has a lot of experience with that, if anybody wants to talk to him about that, too. So there are opportunities, and we'd love it. We'd love it. I know Cow Creek took a small group a while back then, but we need another group to come down and help out. And of all ages, so please consider it. Yeah. Another question. Right. All right, great. Well, I think we are on time. Oh, we have a question here. Wives of pastors. Yes, there's several things. First of all, you can be an encouragement to the wives of the missionaries. so that would be, we have wives come down. We've had wives come down to help teach Sunday school teachers on how to do different crafts and things like that for their Sunday schools, and what are some Sunday school teaching skills that they might need. We've had that as well. And we've had ladies come down and help out in like the gardening of the facilities and the landscaping and things like that. So those are opportunities as well. You know, so but just to be an encouragement would be a great, great thing too. Another opportunity is there's a lot of single moms in Honduras, and so wives could come down and actually teach them different vocational skills, maybe sewing or other kind of skill that could help them as well, you know, making, like I said, jewelry of some sort or whatever. And so that's been help. And then just teaching young women, you know, the what it is to be a godly young woman. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Thanks for the clarification. We have the husbands, the pastors, they're the only ones that come there to the seminary and everything. But we periodically want to get together with the wives. One way we do is we offer one or two conferences a year just for women and just directed to the wives. And so they'll come. It's interesting. That is our biggest conferences. The women conferences are huge. We have over 200 women come sometimes to conferences. And so at that time, we minister to them and all, but we specifically get together with the student wives and have the speaker have a special time with them. We encourage them. We give them little gifts and everything, you know, things like that. I wish we could have the wives come with them every time, but that's just logistically, it would be very, very difficult to do that. And it's really interesting. It's really interesting. We will hear testimonies of guys who have said, I was ready to throw in the towel. It's a rigorous program. And they said it's because of their wives. Their wives had to go back home and said, hey, man, you sacrificed. You've made a commitment. You're going to go back. You're not going to give up. And it's interesting how supportive the wives are of these men to go and study and get the skills needed to lead the churches and all. So we're excited in that. And at the time of graduation, we give special mention and certificates to the wives of those who are graduating as well. So I wish we could do a lot more to them. Lori, my wife, has and Kimberly as well, has a heart for them. Anytime there's an opportunity to minister to them, they come up with ideas of how to minister to them. Great, great question. Another question? Okay, Jeremy.
I just need to say one more thing. I think it was Edwin that mentioned it, but just that we remember that these students, from the understanding, are pastors.
Right.
Such that the work of faith, or a lot of the transformation that we see in their lives, is something that is going to be sown back into their local church.
Exactly.
Can you give us a sense of maybe just that time?
Yes. Yeah. There are several pastors that have this basic testimony. They will come to Meta, and this is a common thing. Just the first week they're in Meta, I've heard this, and from their senior testimonies as well, they will go back to the room and they will get on their knees and cry. They've actually cried. And why? Begging the Lord's forgiveness for what they have done to His church all these years, because they find out they've been doing it wrong. They've been teaching wrong, you know. And there's this one pastor, Carlos Moreno, who was also from a charismatic background, and he came in with that background, and he, as he was going through the study, he realized, okay, I'm doing this wrong. I've taught my people wrong. He went back to his church, and he got up in the pulpit and confessed to them and said, we have done this wrong. What I've been teaching is wrong, and we're going to change. Half of his church left, but he stood ground and said, this is God speaking. This is God's word. We cannot just peddle it, you know. And so that's just one quick testimony. It's amazing. And we've had several that's happened before too. So he's still pastoring, and it looks like it's flourishing. And so we thank the Lord for that. Well, time is up. Thank you all for your attention. If you want to talk any more after the service, please, we're here to inform in any way. Thank you again for your many years of partnership, your many years of prayer and financial support. It is a blessing. We definitely would love to see you come down as a group. We have a lot of the weeks open next summer, so start thinking about it. We'd love to host you there. It's a wonderful time. Wonderful, and we'll keep you busy. We'll do a little sightseeing as well, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it. Thank you very much. May God bless.
Well, thank you, Carlos. We're out of time for our discipleship hour, but I hope that you will be keeping this ministry in prayer, and both the Montoyas as well as the Zelayas and the team there. Pray for them at the dinner table with your kids. Maybe think about special financial gifts to help support the students to attend and other ways that we can support. And also, we're going to be thinking as a church about how we can send a team there as well. So be praying for that. But with that said, we need to close in prayer. I do think that we have some need to set up some tables in the CLC in between for the potluck, so some of the strong men can go over there and help out and get some of that ready. But let's pray together now. Father, we thank you and we give you praise for all that you are doing. Despite our sinfulness and despite our weakness as your people, you are doing mighty work throughout the world to build a Christ church. And we thank you for the fact that we have got to hear testimony of some of the things that you're doing in Central America, in Honduras, as well as Latin America. And we just pray that you would please pour out your blessing upon their labor, them as they labor, Father, so that there might be much fruit from what they're doing there. We pray for the pastors that are students there, that their lives would be transformed, both in terms of their own character to be more Christ-like and in terms of their equipping to lead their churches and minister the word to their people, so that their church might have a legacy of lasting, faithful gospel ministry. And Father, we just want to pray, oh God, for the Montoyas and the Zelayas, even as Carlos and Edwin are here for the Exalting Christ Conference and visiting other churches, that you continue to sustain them and strengthen them and encourage them even through their time. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.